The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent.
Welcome to podcast number 326. I'm Jared Reimer. Dice World came out with a new layout, and we give you a little bit of a demo of it. Next, Jaws news in regards to Jaws and the latest version of Firefox. Ransomware, where are we? And what do you think's going to happen with it? The segment's entitled, Where Are We Today? Should National Cybersecurity Awareness Month be every month? Why do we always have to do it in October? It should be all the time, any chance we get to talk about how people can be more secure as best as possible with the tools they have and what they have in their life to do the best that they can with it all. Finally, a Braille transcription update in regards to passing 15 and what's coming up on 16. Contact information is at the end. I hope that you'll enjoy the program as much as I have bringing it to you. Thanks so much for listening, and make it a great day. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Well, today I want to do a little bit of a demo of Dice World's newest changes. I said last podcast that I was going to cover this. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but we'll cover the main screen, and then I'll start a game, unless one is returned to me. They still got the same great games. In fact, I've been playing a little bit more, and we'll cover some of the changes. I don't want to do a full-length demo of every single feature, but I'll talk about the new layout a little bit. I'm still on my 5S, which is probably on its last leg. I'm running iOS 12.4.2, which was the last particular version of iOS for this phone. If you are aware of 13, this app will take advantage of settings dealing with night mode and will change accordingly, according to the notations. I'm going to be looking into getting a new phone and seeing what deals are available. We'll see what I can do. Dice World's in my games folder.
1025.
If there are any notifications, we'll do our best to stop them. But yep. You do need to be on Wi-Fi or LTE to play, unless you play the practice games. Actually, I think what I'll do is I will do this.
Do not disturb.
We'll turn on Do Not Disturb. That way it should not be an issue unless somebody from my favorites calls. I changed my mind on that. Normally I don't.
Open Dice World.
So we'll open Dice World now. And it's definitely changed.
Updating complete.
So at the top,
level 43.
We have levels.
25%.
I'm 25%
next level.
Through.
Medals 68 of 198.
I have 68 of 198 medals.
Statistics button.
And then there are
detailed
other
player
things.
Statistics.
So I'll swipe through now. Detailed player stats. Let's just swipe through and I'll let you hear.
Medals button. You are the medals you have earned. Store button. Bonus rolls. Custom dies, memberships, and more.
Okay, so now you're not using bonus rolls for gold. Your gold is now separate.
5,211 bonus rolls.
I have 5,211 rolls. I don't know how many rolls we actually were given when we updated, but at least I thought I saw gold, but maybe the gold is eliminated.
Tournaments. Button. Join a daily tournament. New game. Button. Multiple ways to create a new game. Smart match. Button. You choose the game. We choose the opponent. Your turn. Zero games. Heading. Waiting for opponent.
Alright, so I have no games right now.
Leaders. Button. Heading. Daily, monthly, and all-time leaderboards. Social. Button. Active players list. Friends list. Forums. Support and sharing options. Help. Button. Find answers to all of your dice world questions.
The help section's really revamped.
Settings. Button. User. Game. Accessibility. Social and sound settings. Free bonus roll. Button. Watch an ad for a free bonus roll.
So it looks like the gold is completely gone. I thought there was gold, but maybe we earn bonus rolls now. Maybe they took our gold and converted them into rolls. And so that's the basic layout.
New game. Button.
Now,
multiple ways to create a new game.
Let's play.
New game. Back button. Previous opponent. Challenge. Tutorials. Practice. Practice your dice.
A practice
select
game.
Play. Which game? Choose a game to play. Farkle.
On Farkle.
Run. Farkle practice.
So the screens are still the same.
Zero. Help. Button.
You get help.
Game instructions. Round one. Zero. Regular game. Bonus rolls are not allowed in this game.
If there was bonus rolls, it will tell you.
Bonus rolls. 5,211. One.
Two. Okay, so let's roll.
Roll. Button. Roll. 3, 2, 5, 3, 5, 6. Possible moves are 2 5s, plus 50 each.
Now, they were reporting bugs that if you took your bonus roll, the dice weren't red. As I said, I don't have any bonus rolls right now, but I was not able to produce it. I'm not saying there isn't a bug, but I want to let you know what I've been reading that there is. So,
run, select all, button. Swipe a bar down to select all of a certain dice value. Actions available.
So you can select all, or now,
read hand.
You can reread the hand, so I'll reread it.
3, 2, 5, 3, 5, 6.
Okay.
Oh. Sixes, fives.
So,
four,
let's
threes, twos, ones.
Let's say that I want to roll that I want to keep my ones. Now I know I don't have ones, but you can swipe down.
Activate ones. Activate read hand. Activate default.
The activate will say select all.
Ones.
So let's say I have ones here.
Hell zero ones. Bank score is zero. Zero help. Twos, threes, four, fives. Held two fives. Bank score is 100. 100 at help.
Okay, so I'll hold
bank 100.
This.
Bank.
Because I don't trust it. There are different sounds. Somebody told me they really don't like the sounds. I think it's different.
Bat. Bat. Wins. Set. Updating complete.
And, now.
Your turn. One games. Heading.
It says one
games. Games where it is your turn.
And all of that. So let's take a look.
New game. Button. Smart match. Button.
At the smart match.
Smart match. Back. Back. Choose a game to play. Bonus option selected. So you can select please click button at bottom of page.
So.
Farkle. Button.
Let's do Farkle.
Also on the screen. Zilt. Round. Farkle bonus with Admiral Reed.
And
Roll. Button.
Let's roll.
Roll. Again. 4, 6, 1, 5, 4, 2. Possible moves are 1, 1 plus 100. 1, 5 plus 50. Select all.
So now.
Ones. Held 1 ones. Bank score is 100. 100 at health. Roll 5 dice. Roll. Again. 3, 4, 3, 3, 4. Possible moves are 3 threes. Plus 300. Select all. Button.
Let's see what select all does.
Down. Select all of a certain dice value. Select all. Bank score is 400. 400 at health. Roll 2 dice. Roll. Again. Bark. Use bonus roll. Button.
Okay, so I farkled. Use the bonus roll. I've got plenty of rolls.
Use bonus roll. Button. Use bonus roll.
Now watch.
Roll. Again. Button. 1, 2, 4, 6, 6, 5. Possible moves are 1, 1 plus 100. 1, 5 plus 50.
So it read them for me, and it did say roll dimmed, and then it went off and read the hand. Now, I'm not saying that the bug that I saw on AppleVis doesn't exist, but there are some people who are not going to experience the same thing. And so my goal here is to talk about it and let people know that I, and as you just saw, am not experiencing it.
Select all.
So let's
select all. Bank score is 550. 550 of health.
Take
bank
this 550.
Button. Help. Button. See possible moves.
And the help button at the bottom is see possible moves.
Help. But bank 550. Bank. 550 to zero.
Now.
3 of 4 bars. 3 of 4 bars. Back. Back.
Let's see.
7. Updating complete. New game. Smart match. New game. Tournaments. Button.
The tournaments are the same. They're going to take you to the daily.
Leaders. Social. Button.
So let's look at social. Loading. That's changed.
Back button. Social. Heading. Help. Button.
There's help for the social now. So anywhere you can get help, you will have it.
The hangout. Button. Come inside and chat with other players. Make friends and start games.
The chat rooms are now much more accessible. I looked at the support at one point and participated, but I'm not really into the chat rooms on this game.
Friends list. Button. List of friends you have played. Support room. Button. Get answers to any game-related questions, or just chat with the developer. Share. Button. Share Dice World with a friend. Get 25 bonus rolls for each referral.
So,
list share button. Share Dice World with a friend. Get 25 bonus rolls for each referral.
We don't have gold anymore. They got rid of it by the looks of it, and it's all based on rolls. And so that's kind of cool.
List selection heading. Choose list. Switch button on. On shows active players. Off shows activity feed. Double tap to toggle setting.
Okay, so all of this is changed.
Friend filter. Switch button on. On shows all players. Off shows friends only. Double tap to toggle setting. Off.
So I turned mine off. I don't want to see all players, but let's just see what's here.
Jared 9607. Farkle. Yancey. Valid. 24. Threes. Pig. 0 comments. Swipe up or down to select a custom action. Then double tap to activate.
All right, so there's nothing
player options
really here.
Activate.
There's player options.
Activate. Player options.
But I can't do anything with myself, by the looks of it.
Add your name to this list while you are online so others can start instant games with you. You do not need to stay on this page. Active players list. Heading. By active players list. Heading. By joining, you let others know you are online and want to play. Friend filter. Switch button. Choose list. Switch button. List selection. Heading. Share. Button. Support room. Button.
So.
Get answers to any. Selected. Farkle. Active players list. Selected. Yancey, active players list. Heading. Join. Button.
There's a join button.
Add a name to the list of on. Joining. Back button.
And there's also a remove button.
Join. Selected. App. Join. List selection. Join. Button. Remove. Button.
There's the remove button.
Remove
so if you,
from the active players list.
If you change your mind, then you can do that.
Add a name to this list while you are online so others can start instant games with you. You do not need to stay on this page. Back button. Back button.
Let's see. What else do I want to show you?
Social. Help. Settings. Button.
The settings.
Settings. Back button.
The settings are laid out into different categories. I'm not going to go into every single category.
New password. 10 characters. Choose image. Button.
You can choose your image. The first screen.
Username. Jared9607.
Dealing with your
dice. Button.
Account.
Choose your favorite dice set.
You could change your dice.
Sounds. Button. Sound references.
Look at sounds.
Game settings. Button.
Game settings.
Customize your gameplay preferences. Social settings.
Social settings.
Social network and then game social preferences. Accessibility settings. Button.
Accessibility stuff.
Customize accessibility to fit your needs. Repair game list. Button. If something's
in repairing your list. So if something's not right with your game list, go in there.
Three of four bars. Back button. Back button. Wins. Updating settings. Button. Help. Button. Social. Help. Button.
Let's look at the help.
Back button.
And that's all really what I want to show you. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it because you should be able to explore it, but this will give you some ideas of how it works, at least for me. And of course, your mileage varies.
Help. New in this release. Button. Getting started. Button. Frequently asked questions. Button. Games. Button. Tournaments. Button. Social. Button. User profile. Button. Leaderboard. Button. Accessibility. Button. Store. Button. Privacy policy. Button. Terms and conditions. Button. Terms and conditions.
Okay. So.
App switch. Dice work.
That is all I'm going to show you. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about some of these, but that basically gives you the layout of the new Dice World. All of the games have that swipe up and down and select all. I used Farkle because it's simple, but I don't understand why you want to select all on like threes or even 1-4-24, because the strategy is to have 1-4 and then all 4-6s or all 4-2s or all 4-1s. I tried to do that once and I actually got my butt kicked. It's okay. It's a game. I really like the idea of what they've got. It is absolutely awesome with what they've changed. When you do get a new game, it lets you know the dice have changed, and your mileage is going to vary. So that is what I've got for you. So, new Dice World. A real new layout. It's kind of awesome. I think it is cool. We will continue with more of the podcast. This will be Podcast 326. I am Jared Reimer, and thanks so much for listening. Probably been a long time since I talked about this, but I happened to call Freedom Scientific because I was realizing that some of the things that I want to do seem to not want to work. For example, DLVR was all broken, and it seems with the latest Firefox that seems to be working now. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But what I want to talk about first is the fact that I want to remind people that we, as JAWS users, were told to go ahead and use the ESR version, otherwise known as Extended Service Release. This was because Firefox 57 broke accessibility and it needed to be worked on. Well, according to the representative that I talked to This was fixed in the 2018 release. I don't remember it passing my desk that this was ever fixed. So I had been running the ESR and it was 60.0.49 or something when I looked. And the gentleman, who was very kind, told me that I can update. I was actually trying to ask him a couple of other things, but somehow the call got disconnected. I'm not exactly sure how. Either he couldn't hear me or something, but be that as it may, I went ahead and did a little bit of a Google search, and it turned out I found something that said we can go to from ESR to the full release. So I did that. And now I'm running version 69. One of the sites I was also having issues with was CD Baby, although it seemed to work, but it did say I was running an out-of-date browser. And I think I saw that also on the WordPress blog. Even though I'm running the latest version that's available as of this current moment, I noticed that it was also too saying that the browser seemed to be out of date. So I'm hoping that these things have been resolved by updating from ESR to the current release. And if anyone is unaware of the fact that we can now run the full release version of Firefox, I want to take this opportunity to pass this along to you so that you may take the upgrade path like I did. Just get the latest version of Firefox, install it over the ESR, and you're good to go. That is awesome. And also an article that I had published on the blog in regards to Alabama and their hospital network getting hit with ransomware. And I got to thinking about this long and hard. You know, the whole goal of keeping ourselves safe, or as safe as possible, is something that I'm trying to make you all aware of the things going on so that we can do that. And we can't do it alone. There are things that we can do, but it has to be up to the company to take part. When I was at Valley Presbyterian Hospital in Van Nuys as a volunteer in the distribution department, I had gotten one of their email addresses so we could communicate in regards to logs and work-related stuff. And then I asked if I could send some of the security stuff that I read. And this was several years ago. And hospitals weren't targeted that big a deal then. But I fear, and Steve said this, and although Trend Micro has also said that the landscape for ransomware won't be going away anytime soon, I believe that hospitals will be next. And we did have school districts targeted, like I said when I covered Valley College. And that was at the beginning of the year, not this year. You can search for Valley College on the blog to get the full details, and I'm not going to go look it up at the moment. But I called that too. And how bad could it really get? You know, we talk about on podcasts how safe we should be, and we should be doing all of these things, and of course, this is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And we must take part. Just because we're disabled doesn't mean we can't help each other out. I know that my podcast targets people with disabilities, especially the blind community, and I may not have a large audience, but we're here to teach each other. And if the Alabama case and the school district's cases that I blog about and put my thoughts on paper, if you will, are any indication of what's happening, we're going to be in for another long couple of months as 2019 rolls along. And while I've been releasing more podcasts and talking about a wide variety of stuff, including the security landscape, my goal here, when I got back into this, was let's teach. Let's talk about what's important. The last podcast on Security Now did talk about quite a number of ransomware cases, including the hospital network in Alabama. I believe I listened to that podcast after I published the article with an article dealing with the Alabama case, or maybe it was before, I don't remember exactly. But Steve was saying that this may become Security Now, the podcast of ransomware. You know, a lot of the places that have been hit are places that the sighted community go to. I'm not saying that blind people don't go into hospitals. I know of one who recently went into two of them because of some health concerns. And he needed help. That's all I will say in regards to that. He needed help. The names of the hospitals aren't that big a deal. In fact, I don't even remember them. But the fact is that those hospitals could be hit. The threat actors do not care whether or not we are blind, sighted, wheelchair bound, mute, or any other type of disability, hidden or otherwise. If they are trying to get at a network and then they become successful, that's good enough for them. They don't really know who they're targeting. Equifax, the biggest target. And I talked about this numerous times during articles and things in Scott Schober's latest book, covered Equifax and their "we'll just cover this up and it's not that big of a deal" attitude that they took. And it was interesting to read Scott Schober's book because of the fact that it covered a lot of these breaches that we've covered and heard about through podcasts and articles and things. And this is something that needs to change. And it takes every single person. It takes every single person to make that change. You know, we can tell the person when we walk into a place, maybe, hey, I heard about this breach. You know, I know I'm in here for help, but I really want to know if I'm targeted so that I can make sure that I am aware so that I can take steps to protect myself. The problem is that we don't have any way to know unless we get notified somehow. And the fact that it could take several months for us to be notified, even after reports of an initial breach, I don't think that's good enough, especially in the medical field. Not only are you in for some sort of issue that you're having, but then if you find out that place got breached and you have to turn over all of this data just to be seen by a doctor, makes me wonder. I mean, it got so bad in Alabama that articles and Security Now said they were turning patients away that were non-critical. That's gotta be bad. I would say, why don't we get as many people treated? We'll worry about payment later. Let's get people back to health, right? You don't want to be held responsible if something were to change, if it was non-critical and they went in because they knew they needed help, and then it became critical on their way to another hospital because you couldn't treat it before it got bad. And that's what I've been thinking about. You would have more problems with that than you would if you would have just gotten them treated out and said, give us your name and a number and we'll contact you to make payment arrangements when we get the systems back up and running. But at least you could get people treated if it wasn't life-threatening. And my other observation of this whole Alabama case was, how did they ever get the ability to treat their critical patients who needed to stay when nowadays everything's on the computer? You know, they still had to write things down in paper form until the computer can come back up. And of course, they always say don't pay the ransom, but then they turn around and pay because the backups weren't good. So not only do we have them turning away people that could probably get worse because they couldn't get the care they needed in a timely manner, but then you don't back up what is important. Operating systems have the capability of crashing anytime they want. My computer could crash as I'm recording this file right now. I could go to my person managing money and said, the computer just crashed, I can't get it back up, I need somebody to come over and see if they can help me get the computer back up. If not, then we need to buy another computer. And la-di-da-di-da. And you know what? I could get the music drive out, the Dropbox, and all of that. And while this file could be gone, the data that I care about is in Dropbox. And there's other data in Google Drive that's non-essential, but, you know, I have logs that I keep. I have other odds and ends that are kept. And whatever I don't have, I can go get. And I've talked about issues with drives and things before. It happens. I'm glad I've got my Dropbox. We've talked about places that have had to rewrite their stuff. Why did they have to rewrite their stuff? Because they didn't have backups. No company name mentioned. But the goal of doing the basic things of making sure you back up what you are using somewhere, whether it's a hard drive, in the cloud, off-site somewhere, on tape. You know, I used to back up stuff on tape back in the day. A lot has changed, and we need to start somewhere. Because ransomware can hit any of us. Anytime. We could be tired, make a mistake. It can happen. Just because I'm teaching doesn't mean that I could make that mistake and my entire computer could be hit with ransomware. I could contact Dropbox and say, Dropbox, my computer's hit with ransomware. I need you to restore my account to this day. And I could practically have everything back. You know? It can happen. So, in this National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, let's work together to teach each other. And let's not be one of them that get targeted, if at all possible. And if we do, we make sure that we have all of the necessary data we need so we can restore as quickly as possible. And I understand it could take a large amount of time for a large network like a hospital. But, as they have said, it's not good necessarily to play the actor's hand by paying, but there may not be a choice. You know, it reminds me of the very first article I published on Vocal, and you can go to jaredreimer.net/articles where I was tipped off that there was ransomware that hit the Alternate Text Production Center, a company in Oxnard, California, that transcribes books for colleges into Braille. There was an FTP site where you can upload stuff. After that, they've made some changes. And the good news is that while some of the documents were lost, they had backups. And even transcribers had re-uploaded stuff that they could not get because it was so far gone. They had a very textbook case, and I think they did it right. And I think we can learn from them. Threats aren't gonna go away anytime soon. It's just gonna get larger. What do you guys think? I am curious on what you think about this. Do you think it's actually going to get as worse as they say? Or do you think that they are wrong and that it'll eventually taper off? I would like to have a conversation about it because I think, as someone who is blind and reads about this stuff, I understand what they're saying. But for those who don't, I'm curious on your thoughts because we can have a discussion, a civilized discussion. And you can do that by contacting me through email at iMessage@JARED9860mix.com. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. If you have me on other social media, we can start a conversation there too. For all of my social media options, please visit my website at JARED9860mix.net. I really want people to understand what's being talked about. I do have my own opinion, and I may not understand every little detail. But I've been around for a very long time. I've been doing this podcast since 2006, and the third podcast of the series, which I can make available to anyone, talks about the blind community getting hit with something that basically wiped them out, making their own computer useless. It turned out it was a program that we were using back in the day, and there was a version that was not from the official source that people installed, and it pretty much wiped them out. And I sent it to somebody in the community, and we were able to get antivirus updated to detect this threat. And so it was me that did that because I was curious on what this was. I never ran it because I knew that it would take my computer out, but I knew people, and I know people. And if I don't, I can at least inquire and see if I can get some answers. It's not a guarantee, but at least I have a foot in here somewhere. Let's discuss this. Let's figure out how we can get networks as large as hospitals to understand that you're playing with patient information. You have to follow rules anyway. Maybe backups and other cybersecurity stuff should be part of the HIPAA process. And that's why I'm talking about it. I've been thinking about this a long time, and it's bothering me, and I'm getting a moment to think about it, and I'm getting a moment to talk about it in my thoughts and relate it to what I've read and how I think there's a textbook case that was done properly. But yet I understand that it's not possible for every organization to do. Let's continue with more of the podcast. I'm Jared Reimer, and let's hear your thoughts. Welcome back to the podcast. What are you guys learning in regards to Cybersecurity Awareness Month? There's always lots of articles from the various websites around the internet. And it's definitely interesting to learn what's out there. For example, LastPass is continuing to talk about what they offer as far as their LastPass password manager, i.e. storing documents such as birth certificates, passports, and other critical important documents digitally within their system. Of course, I've never really understood how to use that functionality, and the website, while it is accessible, can be quite interesting. The fact of the matter is that there are many different kinds of password managers out there by various names, including KeePass, 1Password, LastPass, and Trend Micro. Trend Micro has been in this field for at least 30 years, providing antivirus solutions, and they've even come out with network-based stuff as well as other types of solutions so that you have the best protection possible. When we were able to use it as blind people, I found it very fascinating how you could visit a website and if something was amiss with some portion of the website, it would block that access but allow you to access the website unless the entire web page was a problem. I really wish that Trend Micro Solutions were accessible to the blind and disabled community. I really think they have something going for themselves with their network-based monitoring and detection at the URL level so that you can't get bitten. They've got things in place to protect you from ransomware and the whole bit. The recent podcasts of Security Now have talked about ransomware, although this past week's Security Now, according to Steve Gibson, does not mention ransomware, according to the tweet he sent on Tuesday for the recent episode that would have aired on the 15th and made available through the podcast. I haven't yet had a chance to go up on the podcast app and download my copy so that I can check it out. I think that's something that I should probably do. It's very interesting that these types of things are coming out during the month of October. But I honestly think that National Cybersecurity Awareness Month should be every month. Why? Because we can always learn different things and learn from whatever mistakes that have been made in the past. For example, I was talking about on one of my blog posts about an article. I don't remember which article it was at the moment. However, it really got me thinking about something that I occasionally do, but I don't normally do on a regular basis. I get email through my contact form, and sometimes I get curious when it brings out a URL, and I go look. I am half tempted to quit doing that, even though sometimes my curiosity gets me. Why? Because I don't really have a network administrator anymore. As I discussed in an earlier podcast this past year, my network administrator is practically gone. You'll probably have to see which podcast it is going to be because I can't seem to find it at the moment. But the long or the short of this is that we have to learn somehow. And if you continue to make the same mistakes and you haven't learned, then why be on the internet? The other reason why I think that we as a community should continue to do Cybersecurity Awareness Month every month is because there are always new people on the internet. Every day, somebody new is getting on the internet and might make a mistake and cause the computer to have a problem. As discussed in earlier podcasts, ransomware is going to be on the rise. Trend Micro has said it. Other security experts have said it. Articles have talked about it. And we can't do it alone. Let's take someone who uses a computer just for work. They don't do a computer on the weekend. They might come in, they might find something of value, boom, they get hit. They've got no idea what they just did. They can tell you what the email said, and they can tell you that they were trying to do their job, but without the proper training and education, they won't learn. And I recently saw something in regards to the training. And you have to make it so that people can understand it. And it's going to take time. Why talk about this during the month of October when we should be talking about it at any possible opportunity we can? Now, I'm not going to tell people how they should run their computer. And I'm not going to tell people that they should do this, that, or the other. But if we don't tell them what type of tools that are out there as security folk, then they will continue to do whatever they want and there won't be any learning. At least show them what's out there. Talk to them about what's out there. Let them decide what works best for them. But also teach them about how not to look at URLs on a regular basis, especially if you're not expecting it. And so far I've been lucky. I talked about in podcasts how I've not been so lucky, i.e. getting bit when looking for antivirus software. Okay, it happens. But have I learned? Yes, I have. I've learned that I should really be looking at where I'm going, even if it says this is the app. Really pay attention. I learned that right after I was running this thing and I realized I got the wrong app. It does happen to everybody, even someone who has taught people that this isn't the best thing to do. And it can happen in search results, which is what happened with me. So I do have some experience. I'm not going to claim to know it all. And I'm going to tell you that I don't know if I don't. But at the same time, it is absolutely imperative that we teach this when we can and when the right opportunity occurs. Do you teach this type of thing? And how successful are you? Let's talk about teaching strategies and how you go about the different demographics and age ranges of people you teach. This is Jared Reimer, and I am on podcast 326 of the Technology Podcast Series, and we'll continue in just a moment. Course now. I have passed assignment 15 the way that it needs to be done. Remember that I am not giving any answers away. But I know there were some mistakes, and I've gotten clarification of what they want. Also, there was a very interesting conversation that my instructor and I had about the course. And I told him, look, I'm confused because I interpreted this section of 15 to be this way, and you're telling me it's wrong. So all I'm trying to do is figure out what the right way is. And he had a very interesting point. And I did take this into account. I understand that a lot of the rules are guidelines. And that's well and good. But when it's coming from a point where you learned the English code as eBay, or EBI, as some people pronounce it, that stands for English Braille American Edition, and you're learning UEB on top of learning the transcription course itself, although we were used to UEB by reading the various symbols and so forth, it makes it very interesting. And speaking of interesting, I want to take this opportunity to talk about assignment 16, which I haven't started yet. Assignment 16 covers modified letters, different quotation marks, foreign language and English text, Spanish punctuation, Greek letters, Old and Middle English, and specifics on all of this with translation software. Now, it's no secret that I have had made for me RTF files of recent particular assignments. Of course, I have to then manipulate that using Braille 2000, give my best understanding of what it's supposed to be, and turn in an assignment based on how I understand things. Now, here's what's interesting about 16. It is covering foreign language stuff. And they want us to look at the 2013 version of the Rules of English of Unified English Braille, second edition 2013, section 4.3, for an entire list, including transcriber defined modifiers. I've never really understood these modifiers. I do and have read some foreign language when it comes to Spanish in publications like Braille Book Review. But of course, without understanding the language, I don't read it on a regular basis. Now, here are the symbols used, what they mean, and an example. We have .4346, brave above. So there's a brave above a U. And it's brave above following letter. Or breve. If I'm mispronouncing these, then please send me an email and correct me. The next is macron above following letter. We've got .4 and .36, and it's a macron above a U. Then we have 4, 5, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and that's cedilla below following letter, and it's C cedilla. as the example. Then we have 4516, and that's grave accents above following letter. And the example here is a grave accent A. The next one is 45146, and that's circumflex above following letter. And the circumflex in this case is O. Then we have 45ER, tilde above following letter. That's N. So N tilde, like Enya or something. Then we have 45, it seems like it's 25, 4525, umlaut, or diacritics. And it's U-umlaut. So, umlaut or diacritics above following letter. Or diaresis, excuse me. Oh boy. It's diaresis, not diacritics. So, sorry about that. I want to make that correction right here and there. 4-5, then 2-3-5. Ligature indicator. So, ligature E. And the thing above that, the U umlaut, is umlaut or diaresis above following letters. So U umlaut or U diaresis. Okay, next is 4534, and that is acute accent above following letter. And the example here is E acute accent. They talk also about placement, and they're talking about ligatures in between two letters where they're shown in print. An example is given. Then we've got capitalization. For example, it says if a modified letter has is a capitalized letter, place the capital letter indicator before the modifier. Note that modifiers are the only braille sign that can be placed between a capital indicator and the letter or word to which it applies. Example, they have here L'Etoile du Nord. And I believe that's L, and then I'm not exactly I think it's an apostrophe, and then it's a capital, then E. I believe that's an accented mark. T-O-I-L-E. They talk about capitalized word mode in Lindstrom, where the letters modified. Contractions, where the modified word like fiance, don't use the contraction. Blessed, reinforce, and coeducation. These are all modified letters. There is a way to do it for more than one letter, i.e. see you soon, where they use the GH and the AR for modifiers, since contractions can't be used in this way. It can't be confused, but I've never seen it like that. S modified E, U S modified O O N. Never seen it that way. Different types of quotation marks. You see a lot of these in Spanish. Opening and closing double quote mark for 45236 and 45356. Then you've got 4-5-6, 1-800-253-6 and 456-356, opening and closing Italian quotation marks, small double angle bracket. And they have samples. And of course, in foreign language material are different, because in UEB you're using contractions, but there is code sets for foreign language material where that's all grade one. And so we are told not to use the foreign language specific options when submitting our assignment. And some of the questions, if you're asking about contractions, are: should the one contraction be used in immigración? See lesson 9. Should the be contraction be used in vicario? See lesson 7. What contraction should be used in Gerardo? Or what is this? Heredro. I think is what this is. H-E-R-E-E-D-E-R. See lesson 9. They say that you should check a foreign language dictionary or online reference for determining pronunciation and syllabication. How fun. Examples: son team, where the A is modified, and then we had sin team in one of our lessons before, where it was no T-I-M-E contraction. So, there are examples of that. And then guidelines for contraction use in specific languages. They talk about older languages from, you know, 1200, not to use them, otherwise use it. Spanish punctuation, .4556, 236 for questions. .4556236 for exclamation. So there's a lot here to learn. Follow print for dashes. There is a drill which I will go look at, because that's very important. We have the Greek alphabet, where all of the letters are given. All of them are 4-6 based. So 4-6A for alpha, 4-6B for beta, etc. 4-6-1-5-6 for eta. 4-6-1-4-5-6 for theta. 4-6-1-2-3-4-6 for chi. 4-6-1-2-3-4-6 1, 2, 4 for pi, or phi, phi. 4, 6, p for pi. A lot of the others are letters. G for gamma, D for delta, E for epsilon, Z for zeta, I for iota, K for kappa, L for lambda, M for mu, then you got N for nu, X for Z, XI, O for omicron, we covered P for pi, R for rho, R-H-O, S for sigma, T for tau, U for epsilon, we covered F for phi, I think this is phi, you got Y for psi, and W for omega. All of them are 4, 6 before each. You're to follow print, and the capital indicator is used before uppercase Greek letters. So, there is an example there. Early forms of English text are UEB section 12. And then, of course, Braille translation software, which I sort of covered. Styles for foreign language. And then the exercise. And the exercise has 25 sentences. And after 16, folks, we're going to have a lot of fun, because then the real formatting is there. We're going to put print and Braille page numbers, and we are going to end up transcribing a portion of a book by the time lesson 19 rolls around. And I had a very interesting curiosity question, and that was whether or not we were covering particulars of colors. I remember seeing it somewhere, and now I can't find it, and it's irritating, because I figured I must learn as much as I can so that I can do the best job that I can. And I honestly remember seeing a section on it, and I've looked through the entire rest of the book, and I can't find it. Ah, go figure. So that's what's covered on 16. This is going to get very interesting. And will be definitely of interest. So, that is where we are. So, what has been your experience with foreign language? I'm curious. I'm talking to those of you who have done this before. How's been your experience? Get in touch and let me know. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. I think that's going to do it after looking at where we are, what we've covered, and the time frame. So let's wrap this podcast up. You can send me an email or an iMessage to tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. You can send a text or a WhatsApp message if you don't have iMessage to 804-442-6975. I would like to take this opportunity to say hey to everyone out there and thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you have a topic that you would like us to contemplate having it put on here, please get in touch. I heard from somebody today that I haven't talked to in a long time, and they were talking about how a lot of this podcast is technical. I try to do my best not to have it so technical and to relay it to something that I might have experienced, or I could talk about it in such a way where I could make up a story to relay what I'm reading so that everybody can understand it. And of course, your feedback is welcome, and I welcome any new people to the podcast to give me ideas how we can do this without being so technical that we lose the average person who might listen to this podcast. So, I hope that everyone has enjoyed the program, and I'll be back on another edition of it very soon. I have nothing in the works, so we'll see what comes up next. Till then, thanks so much for listening, and make it a great day.